super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who can be here and still a week ago at the same time, the time traveler, 42nd Street Pete.
What the fuck was up with that?
That was like an old show that decided it wanted to be here again right now.
Oh, great. The place is fucking haunted, too.
Well, you know that's true.
Yeah. God. Yeah, did I recap that whole WSU thing? Because that was last week.
I'm not sure if you recapped that.
Well, Mercedes did beat Brittany, did retain the title against Brittany Savage. Team Amy destroyed Team Catal, though. It was a given. They were having trouble with the pay-per-view in the beginning. They were running about 15 minutes late, I think. All in all, pretty together show. Amy almost won the Ultimate Rumble, and they're going back. This little chick from the Boston Shore, Alexis, won it, and she's going to face Mercedes at the next show, which will be August 6th, which I'll probably have to come back to Jersey for because, you know, I'm down with it, so what the fuck. But anyway, happy fucking 4th. I guess if, you know, anybody's listening to this, you're probably got nothing better to do either, right? So we figured we'd go live, and actually Todd pissed me off last week, if anybody listened last week, about that whole... I thought he was just ribbing me, but then I found out that Quentin Tarantino was going to make a movie called Django Unchained. Yeah. Laugh if you must, motherfucker, but yeah.
I can't believe it. You thought I was kidding.
You know, there's certain things that are sacred, and, you know, the whole myth of Django to me is, and to a lot of other grindhouse aficionados, is sacred because, let me give you some background, and then you'll understand why I'm pissed off.
Okay.
The whole thing is, Django was a very obscure spaghetti western, and it came out probably right after, I'm going to say Fistful of Dollars, or in that time span. And, you know, because of the Dollars films, it was sort of kicked to the curb. You know, I don't remember actually seeing it in the grindhouse because I didn't. And I remember vaguely seeing newspaper ads when I was a kid, you know, for it, like, in the grindhouse. So it may have run a week. I don't know. But anyway, it sort of disappeared, and then, you know, then it surfaced on this really nondescript brown box generic Western videotape from Magnum Home Entertainment. And, you know, it was, you know, the edited, you know, trimmed down version that was had been playing, I believe it was banned for 25 years in Great Britain. Now, here's the thing. There was over 50 other films that had Django in the title, without having Franco Nero or Sergio Corbucci even involved. Terrence Hill was one of them. God, you know, almost everybody who went through you know, a spaghetti western, they kept renaming things Django. Can't think of one, because it's funny. I just saw this movie called March or Die, and Terrence Hill was in that too, marching across the desert with a machine gun. He was doing the same thing in the Django flick. I can't remember what the hell the name of the damn thing was. But anyway, that's the whole thing. Now, there actually was an official sequel made for Django. It was Franco Nero was down in South America, and they were shooting a movie, and the director in that movie spoke to him about, you know, how come you guys never made a sequel? And he goes, well, you know, we just didn't. And he goes, well, why don't we make one? We're down here. And he was, we would have to get, you know, Sergio's blessing to do it. It would only be right. So they got a hold of Corbucci and, you know, got the consent. And they made this one called Django Strikes Back. Another one that was never seen over here because even in Europe, it came out about the same time Rambo did. So they got, you know, Franco Nero holding the machine gun, but he's all, like, buffed up like Stallone in Rambo. It said Django Strikes Back. So people just, you know, didn't know what the fuck it was. So that was out on a very limited release with the original Django from Anchor Bay. I think it's long out of print. So here we have, you know, another case of a very obscure film that this bobble-headed fucking douchebag is going to, you know, revision. And I just read the thing on the IMDb, which pissed me off, is he's got Leonardo DiCaprio in the lead as a former plantation owner. And one of those guys from Inglourious Basterds, I guess he won the Academy Award or something for best whatever the fuck. He's in the second lead, and Jamie Foxx is playing Django, an escaped slave, hence the title Django Unchained. I'm like, you know something? Really, fuck you where you breathe, you bobble-headed bastard. Because you're trashing, you know, a myth, a legend by doing this. Because Django was not, an escaped slave. Django was, he was wearing, I believe it was Union Army pants. And rides into town dragging a casket behind him that has a machine gun in it. Proceeds to machine gun down some of the Ku Klux Klan there that are shooting Mexicans down and stuff. I mean, the fucking film was great on so many levels, yet you're going to bastardize it by, you know, revisioning something in your own, what you're going to say is your own thing when it isn't. Because, again, you're ripping something the fuck off, just like you did in Glorious Bastard. You got a Woody for that fucking film. You didn't remake it, so you took the title. And like I said, it would have been, oh, me big mean Jews carve swastikas and Nazis' heads. That would have been a better fucking title. Okay? Too much dialogue, not enough action. And if you know, let me continue the bashing, because when Grindhouse came out, we all know how I felt about that, but you go to a DVD store and you're looking for Planet Terror and there's like two on the fucking shelf, and you look at Death Proof and all of them are still there. So who made the better movie? And to be honest with you, if that place they ever played in the Grindhouse, it wouldn't have got past Friday. It would have started Wednesday. It would have been given the boot Thursday night, because nobody would have went to see it. It was too fucking talky, and three chicks beating the shit out of Kurt Russell at the end. Give me a fucking break. I know you got a foot fetish, but what are you doing? You're sucking Jamie Foxx's toes now? Fuck. See, you know, this whole thing set me off. And it's like, again, you know, I got no trouble with Jamie Foxx as an actor. He's a great actor. He was great in Ray. He was great in a bunch of other stuff. But to throw him in a role that basically made an unknown Franco Nero famous, why don't they throw an unknown in the role if you want to do something like that?
Well, I was wondering also, you know, we had talked, isn't this character based on a folk legend, an Italian folk hero?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Kind of doesn't fit.
But like I say, this is his pattern. He gets something he thinks it's so obscure that nobody will pick up on it. Like, okay, Lady Snowblood, City on Fire. Oh, yeah, all this good shit that, you know, you bang off. So, then you're going to do it to this. It's unbelievable. I think it's a slap in the face to all the spaghetti western fans too. I mean, if you were going to cast that, he was a scruffy white guy. That's what he was.
I was thinking Jason Statham or somebody would have been good.
He would have been good. Oleg Tatarov would have been good.
Yep.
He's got that big, mean, unshaven look, you know?
Yep.
Even Ian McShane or Timothy Olyphant or one of them guys. Oh, the fucking guys would have been great. Why Jamie Foxx, an escaped slave? I think he has a black fetish. I really do. I think he sucked Pam Grier's toes.
Well, if you had the opportunity, I think you would also suck Pam Grier's toes.
I'm not a defeat.
You would change if it was Pam Grier.
No, I fucking would. I don't suck anybody's toes. Matter of fact, if you noticed that, you know, the post I put up about, you know, I had 3.5 hours in a dental chair getting bridge work done. So my question is, now if I have a bridge, if I eat pussy, can I charge a toll? I'm serious. You know, it's only fair. I mean, I'm putting all this money into a bridge. I should be able to charge a toll for pussy sliding over it. You know, because I'm one of those guys who really gets into his work. You know, I don't even know anymore because my neck's so fucked up and shit like that. I mean, I think ideally I would have to get one of those, you know, bars installed over my bed and get a Tempur-Pedic pillow and, you know, sink my head into it so I wouldn't, you know, make the wrong move and have lunch gently lower down on me, you know? But I digress back to this fucking bullshit with this asshole. Yeah. I mean, okay. Let's see. If Quentin wants to cast, you know, black actors in spaghetti westerns, how about Tracy Morgan, Eddie Murphy, and Queen Latifah in The Good, the Bad, and the Booty? Or, I know you love Tracy Morgan, that's why I'm doing this. Tracy Morgan is the man with no name in Fistful of Fried Chicken and the hit sequel For a Few Drumsticks More.
Oh, you're wrong. And Tracy Morgan sucks. What are you trying to say?
No, but you know, it's something, and nobody can snap back because I'm going to fucking clarify something. There were black actors in a couple of spaghetti westerns. As a matter of fact, Jim Brown started his film career, I believe, in a movie called Rio Concho. It wasn't a spaghetti western, but he was a cavalry sergeant, and then he became, I don't know, whatever the fuck he was, but it was a pretty good shoot 'em up with him and Jim Brown and Stuart Whitman and Tony Franciosa and other people. So, yeah. Jim Brown, and Jim Brown actually did, you know, segue in with Lee Van Cleef, and they did, I believe, like three spaghetti westerns together. El Condor, Take a Hard Ride, and Kid Vengeance.
Well, and it's also, you know, it's a difference. I don't have a problem with anyone's color at all. I
don't either, but I'm just saying, I'm, you know, fed up with shit has its place. Like, you know, I was really pissed off about the fucking Honeymooners, to be perfectly honest with you.
I was going to say, that was my point. They remake just like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was just put out as Guess Who or whatever. And, you know,
and they put a white guy in it.
All they did was they changed the skin color of the cast and say, it's an original take. No, it's really not. It's a copy. Whatever you say, it's a copy. So there's my thing, and why has it always got to be black and white? Why can't they have like an Asian family or a Hispanic family? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why has it always got to be just black or white? It's ridiculous. You know what? I love Sukiyaki Western Django because Takashi Miike made a kick-ass Japanese Western that was inspired by Django but didn't rip it off. That was an awesome movie. Have you seen that?
I didn't see that yet. I make fun of it, though, because his fucking bobblehead's in that, too.
Yeah, that's where he probably got the idea.
Exactly. You know, he's over there sucking Japanese toes.
Now, why are you
calling Quentin? And don't say I'm going to suck toes, because I'm not. I'm just pointing something out. He's got a foot fetish with Uma Thurman. That was public, you know?
Why do you have to, why do you have to call Quentin a bobblehead?
Because he looks like a bobblehead.
Well, all right. You know, I always defend Quentin, and this one I can't really defend yet. I have to see more about
it. You defend all you want. He puts himself in every fucking movie he's in. I mean, okay, Hitchcock did that thing. He's not Hitchcock. Corman did it a couple of times. He's not Corman. William Castle did it on Rosemary's Baby. He's not William Castle. So please, make up your mind. This is what I told some young, aspiring filmmaker who will never talk to me again. You can't wear so many fucking hats in that thing. I said, make up your mind where you want to be, behind the camera or in front of the camera, when you're first starting out. That's my advice, and I'm no fucking expert, but, you know, here he is. Got to be in Death Proof. Got to be in Planet Terror. Got to be in this. Got to be in... He wasn't in the Inglourious Basterds, though.
Well, he was in Planet Terror because he was asked to be, though.
How do you know?
Because Rodriguez wrote a part for him.
I heard they're not on... who the fuck knows? Hollywood gossip, you know?
Yeah, don't always believe that.
I don't believe anything. I'm not in that limelight. I don't want to be there. I want to be me.
I think you definitely got that covered.
Yeah, no, that's a full-time fucking job, being me. So I wouldn't want to. It's the truth.
I believe it.
But hey, you're talking about Spanish thing. This is funny. I'll admit it. I was down in English Town today. I'm shopping for shit for my house because I'm leaving probably... not this coming Monday, but the following Monday. I should be packed up and ready to get out of here.
Hold on. So next week is going to be the Farewell to Jersey show.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Might even do that live, too. Who the fuck knows? You know, it's like there's so many people, you know, you think you really want to say goodbye to, and then you try to get a hold of them, and it's like pulling teeth, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to see an old friend of mine tomorrow, and maybe a couple other people, and then that's, you know, fucking it. What are you going to do?
Gotcha.
Contact me on the internet because that's about where it's at, you know.
Well, you won't be around.
No, and I don't know. You know, I don't know when I'm going to have internet access. I got a lot of this shit. It's more important. I got to paint and do all kinds of other fucking shit. So, but you can't beat English Town for deals. Because I want to do this right. I don't want to like, okay, I'll move in and paint around every. No. I want the master bedroom fixed. That's all.
Well, it's a new house. So since you have a new house, I think you should probably go in and you could put your bar in. You can install your little bar you were just talking about.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The trapeze.
That's right.
Make your bedroom a fun recreation room for all. Put a trapeze over your bed.
I know somebody who had mirrors all over their bed. He did the whole thing. He mirrored his whole room and shit. And he goes, oh, this is fucking wonderful. You ought to try. And I'm like, does the fact that I wear glasses weigh into my sort of reluctance to engage in this whole thing? Because number one, I didn't even want to see myself fuck.
That makes two of us.
Then and even now, back then and even now, I have no qualms about not performing for the camera. Thank you very much. That's why, you know something, you really can't be a douche in public anymore because all these cell phones have cameras and shit. You wind up on YouTube.
That doesn't stop most people.
Oh, yeah, it stopped me because I got videotapes of some of my drunken tirades of yours. So, yeah, I forget it. I'd be in court. Fuck that. I don't want to know nothing. I honestly don't. Hey, we got a number if anybody wants to call in.
Of course, 310-928-7857. If you want to call and talk to Pete, you're more than welcome to call right on in. Pete, you do have something to talk about, though, because you watched something kind of cool this afternoon, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, actually, I watched two cool movies. That Battle L.A. or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, yeah,
Aliens invading L.A., by landing in the ocean, Michelle Rodriguez.
I thought it was okay.
It was good. A lot better than that fucking piece of shit Skyline. If anybody could ever explain what was going on in that, I'd really like to know.
Yeah, it's similar movies, but you're right. That Skyline thing kind of got me because I didn't understand the end. I guess I understood. I just didn't like the execution. The ending where everything turned into a video game, it was great.
Oh, that's what it was?
Well, not technically, but it looked like a video game. How's that?
I don't know. The whole thing, everybody wakes up, everybody's fucking gone, and aliens are sucking people's fucking brains or something and become glowing spears and then they're pooped out or something. You know, give me a fucking break. No wonder nobody goes to the fuck, you know. I can't even say that. It only appeals to one segment of the population, really young people.
And it really didn't even appeal to them, really, because I took my son and he wasn't too happy with that movie.
Yeah. Did your son listen to my show?
Sometimes. He's old enough now.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, that man isn't really Daddy's friend. He just works.
isn't it funny, though, when we started doing shows together way back in the day, he was very small, but now, all these years later, he is 18 years old now.
Oh, shit. Send him to Wasteland. At least maybe he'll show up.
Hey, wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
I've got like two backups this time.
Ross said he'd take you.
That's awesome.
Ross said he'd take somebody. Who's the other backup? Tim?
Yep, Tim's my other backup.
I hesitate to ask. Is Griff still around? Or
yeah, he was just here last night doing a More Horror Than Horror.
Okay. I guess he's happily married and shit.
I think so.
Yeah. Ah, great. I'm happy for him. Sometimes marriage works for certain people. As for me...
Yeah.
Love is a limit. Did you see my Facebook thing about Michelle Bachmann?
I don't think I did.
No, you didn't. Oh shit! Maybe I can find it. Yeah, we have nothing better to do here at Jackalope Live. Nobody's calling in. It's a fucking another shitball holiday that comes into a 3-day weekend. You live around here, you can't find any fucking thing. I mean, you can if you want. You know, I wanted to blow out early this morning. It took me almost an hour and a half, which would have been a really hour ride. So you can just imagine what's been going on. But it's too congested around here. There's a fair at the Meadowlands. They're going to blow up this tomorrow and blow up that tomorrow. They were blowing up shit before. So I don't know. What the hell?
I keep thinking someone's knocking on the building here in the studio, and I look out, and there's just people blowing stuff up over on the next block. And the thing is...
I had that behind me, yeah.
There's these big signs everywhere this year saying that they will not tolerate it, and that people are not to do it, or they're going to get arrested, but no one's gotten arrested. They're just blowing up their backyards and everybody else's backyards and the highway and anything nearby.
Okay, I found it. I did... This is an ode to Michelle Bachmann. We all know who she is.
Okay.
Okay, and you know, it's to the tune of Michelle by the Beatles. Too bad you can't have music saying in the background, this is going to suck me south. Just recited. Michelle, you smell, your pussy really smells like hell. My Michelle, you smell. Wait a minute. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you done messed it up. Here.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, this thing just blended together. Oh, did Facebook fuck with this?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, you better going, I don't know.
Well, you started.
Yeah, it fucked up. I don't know what happened. I don't know. It looks like everything ran into each other.
That's what happens. So
kind of go, it's like, you're stinky. That's all I have to say. Now you want to lay. Sorry, no fucking way. Until you use a feminine hygiene spray. Michelle, you smell like low tide in the San Francisco Bay. Please go the fuck away. Somehow it ran all together. It's not as funny as I thought. Okay, I apologize, fans. I thought it was fucking humorous.
Probably would have been if you could have read the damn thing.
Yeah, it's all fucked up now, so, oh well. Well, you know, I think it, you know, she's also touring with her band, the Bachman Pale and Underdrive. Yeah, another wonderful thing I thought of.
Cracking me up.
Going back to those films, Battlefield Earth was pretty good. It was actually, you know, that the plot was halfway decent and shit, as opposed to Skyline, where, like, you know, I still don't know what the hell was happening. The other one was Priest, which was pretty good. I didn't think that was bad at all.
I enjoyed it. It's like I was saying, though, I really felt like it was really kind of like Sucker Punch. They cut the hell out of these movies. Sucker Punch was cut by 20 minutes. And listen to this crap. I got to go off on a tangent about this because, I've always been fond of Warner Brothers. Hell, I've worked with them quite a bit. But the thing is, man, the only way to get the director's cut version with the extra 20 minutes put back in the movie is to buy the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. And I think that's crap. If you buy the regular DVD, it's just the PG-13 crap version. And I don't think that's cool to do that to people. I think even if you buy the single Blu-ray, it's still the PG-13 crap version. And that kind of trend, they started it with that Saw movie too. The last Saw, if you wanted the fully uncut Saw movie, you had to buy like the combo pack. And I'm going, you know, this has got to stop. A lot of people don't have Blu-ray player. As a matter of fact, I think it said only like 6% of the country has a Blu-ray player. So they really need to get...
Because nobody gives a fuck.
You get their heads out of their butts and start, you know, I wouldn't have one if it wouldn't have been a package deal with a TV. And I do love the quality, I admit, but man, it's not right to do that to people. It should be the same.
Somebody else did too. Synapse did that with, they're probably going to do it with The Exterminator too. They did it with Vampire Circus and...
Yeah, but the thing is, at least it came with the same movie on the DVD. It wasn't like a different cut.
Yeah, but still, you know, that gives them a justification to get $30 for a fucking package. I'm not paying $30 for a fucking movie. That's
wow,
bullshit.
It was like $17.99 here for the Vampire Circus.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, that's what kills me. Some of these guys are getting top dollar for it. You go on the internet and you buy it less than wholesale. Like there was a bunch of Blue Underground shit on deep discount DVD for like $5 and under. So
wow,
fuck it. That's how I get some of my shit now. You know.
Well, I'm thankful for Blue Underground because, man, if it wasn't for them, we would not have any Italian stuff on Blu-ray in this country. I'd have to order everything from Arrow Entertainment overseas because, man, they've been putting out the stuff, and now I saw they announced House by the Cemetery for September on Blu-ray. That's going to be nice.
I think what does Zombie do?
I'm waiting for Zombie. I don't know. I can't find any information about it out there.
They just put out The Nesting, but I don't think he put that on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I don't know, but that movie was boring.
I don't think anybody would really give a shit whether that was on Blu-ray or not, to be honest with you.
It needs to be on Trash Bin, because that damn thing made me fall asleep when it was first released to the theaters.
I honestly don't remember that much about it.
That's the
point. Now I'm in one of those modes where, like, I'll give that stuff a second look because, you know, things have been so really fucking horrible, you know, on the old movie front anyway.
True.
So...
It was just so slow. How could you make a movie about a bordello and killer spirits that possess people and kill people and have it be that freaking slow?
Yeah, didn't Gloria Graham die right after that?
I don't know.
You think so? I think so.
Probably should look at that movie.
Nobody wants to call in.
What? Oh, who?
Nobody wants to call in.
Man, I don't think... You know what? It's because a lot of people are probably doing that. You know, a lot of people are probably listening to us. It looks to me like we got a lot of iTunes traffic right now, so we got a lot of people listening to us on the iTunes. They're on the go, man. They're probably not near a phone or wanting to call in.
iTunes? You can actually get this on iTunes.
Of course. We're streaming live every day on iTunes.
Wow. Yep. I should have been better prepared.
Well, I thought I had somebody who was going to come in, and they didn't at the 11th hour, which left me, you know, grossly unprepared.
Well, yeah, that happens. You know, you expect a guest, and when it falls through, it is difficult.
Yeah, so we wing it.
Well, yeah, there you go.
It's an interesting fucking weekend anyway. It's just weird, but, you know, like I said, living around here, it's just so damn congested. It's like I ran down English Town, I hit traffic, and coming back, I didn't, but it was still bumper to bumper going down. And I left here about 7:30 in the morning.
Damn. So,
see, yeah, I can't believe it. I got a lovely bedspread for my, you know, bed. You know, it's got a skull and crossbones on one side and some kind of huge monster on the other side.
Oh, man, you ruined it. When you said you got a brand new bedspread, I was going to say, what's her name?
No. No, we're not going that way. No, I'm not. I'm serious. I didn't buy a house to become, a slut. You know?
you didn't have to buy a house to become a slut. I think you're already on the road.
No, I don't know.
Your male slut days are over, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. They've been over for quite a while, actually. I'm just at a point where I don't give a shit anymore. I prefer, I need to connect on a more spiritual level, which I have already with someone, so.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So that's where that's at.
It was a love connection.
Yeah, true. There is.
When you see Chuck Woolery out there, he's saying 2 and 2, you know it's all good.
It's love connection. I don't think she ever heard that fucking thing we did with the dating game.
That was so magical.
Yeah, really. There's been some, you know, enchanted moments on this show. You know, Frozen. You should put a best of CD out or something.
I've been thinking about that, actually, and I've also was thinking while you're, you know, in transition, if you're not able to do it, I'm going to be putting together some best of shows to play some of our most shocking moments of 42nd Street Pete's. What I'm going to call
it. We really haven't had any shocking moments. Like, I know somebody's. People thrive on stirring shit up on the air, but we've never had that happen.
Well, we don't stir, but we've definitely had shocking moments. Let me tell you, that dating thing was a shocking... There were some things that came out of your mouth that dropped some mouths open. Yeah,
what the fuck did you expect, you know?
Really? People, you know, that's the thing, though. You know, in this day and age, I know I need, and I think other people need it, too. We need that release. We need people that will come along and just have a good time and say whatever pops into their mind and quit worrying about all this politically correct nonsense.
Yeah, it's true. One thing we're not is we never aspire to be politically correct, and we won't stand for it. I mean, you know, someday they may shut us down. Who knows?
Not if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where else in the world can you sit here and do a radio show half naked, you know? I'm half naked, so if your viewers really want a disgusting picture, there you go.
I have a King Diamond shirt on. I'm not half naked.
A what?
King Diamond. I'm wearing a King Diamond shirt with a... It's kind of offensive, but today it's like been really weird. We had a whole bunch of Baptists up around where I live, like a convention or something's going on, and they all had their different weird shirts with church sayings and crap, so I had to wear King Diamond with a big upside-down cross on it. Just out of respect.
Well, I actually have a complete set of Three Stooges t-shirts now.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I saw that they've been putting out the DVD sets, and those are nice. I got one of them for sure. I can't find all of them. They're like, they sell out pretty quick.
That's another thing. When I move, I got to really lay out all my shit and see what I got, because I know I got like duplicate fucking things on certain stuff. That's why I haven't, especially like Stooges shit. I know I've had stuff, or I don't know what I did with it, but I'll just lay it all out, and I'll know exactly where I'm at with the shit.
That's going to be kind of nice for you to have, like, instead of a library, you'll have a DVD berry. You know, it'll be like...
Yeah, well, I got books, too, so, you know. I want to lay out so I know where everything is. That way, if I need my point of reference.
And that is true. You got a lot of books, because you're kind of like me. Whenever you see a book that's like about like exploitation cinema, you pick that sucker up.
I pick up a lot of different stuff.
How many of Chaz's books do you have? You have a couple of Chaz's?
I think I got all of his.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yep. Yeah, I got a lot of biography. I got the Peckinpah biography, the Warren Oates biography, a lot of wrestling biographies. What was the last one I just picked up? World According to Dutch, Dutch Mantel. That was a pretty good book. I really don't give it, you know, Dutch was one of those guys I really didn't give a shit about, but it was an interesting read, nonetheless.
I'm trying to find the Lance Henriksen book. I think I'm going to have to go to Hastings to find it.
Oh, yeah, that's, what is it, Not Bad for a Human?
Yeah, yeah.
Just go on Amazon.
Lance is going to be on Night Watch here in a couple of weeks with Adrian Barbeau.
I love Lance. I met him once. He was great.
Just funny, man. I tell you what, just talking to him the other night, man, that guy, I don't know how I'm going to do an FCC show. It's going to be like having you on.
Why?
Because Lance and you talk a lot alike. Let me just tell you. It was awesome.
Like I said, I only talked to him once. I got my picture taken with him. But I just, it was one of those deals where they were getting guarantees or something. So we walked out of the room and I said, Lance, any chance I can get a picture with you? He goes, anything for a fellow New Yorker.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I actually forgot his first film was Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah. He's the man, I swear. But his book's out, and I was looking at a couple others that looked pretty interesting. But yeah, the biography, I got three of the Russ Meyers books that they've done about him. One of them was kind of a biography with his involvement a little bit toward the end there, and the other two were about him, you know. One of them was about his movies, one was about him, kind of his life story. They talked
about the one with Legs McNeil?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. He also did the Andy Milligan book.
Oh, cool.
The Sex, Gore, Netherworld of Andy Milligan. That was a really good book. Did you pick up Gary Kent's book?
I haven't got it.
Fuck, you better get that, too.
If I could find him here in this area, I'd pick him up.
Just go online. You should do it. Get it from. Just email Gary and say, I want to buy your book. Let him get the money directly in his pocket.
I'd rather do that because, and maybe he could overnight it, because otherwise, man, if it comes in the mail here, it rains here every day pretty much, so everything I order ends up soggy and wet.
Yeah, plus they really don't know what books are where you live, do they? You know?
Well, they know the kind that you sell, or used to sell, I should say. Because, as you know, this is the number one home. Not only is it the number one home for the Mormons and the Baptists, but it's also the number one home for porn. Go figure.
That's so fucking weird that, you know, I don't know, that whole scenario. I remember there was something in Ohio about these, the church was picking in some bar or something with strippers, and the strippers showed up at church in bikinis or something.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
We got to take a break, Pete.
Okay.
It's past that time.
We'll be back.
Oh,
everybody knows when 42nd Street Pete is in the house, anything goes. At the Grindhouse.
Turns you on, doesn't it, you little maggot?
Yeah.
Every Saturday night.
Mm.
9 p.m. Central.
Mm.
10 p.m. EST.
If you want to be a party animal, you have to learn to live in the jungle.
This is my Grindhouse. 42nd Street Pete.
Attention all personnel.
You got it.
You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
And we're back.
Bang, bang. Happy 4th. Whoopee. Yeah. I don't know. It's just such a lame-ass fucking holiday to begin with. I mean, I know we're celebrating the birth of the country and all this stuff, but it just, I don't know. I was never a beach person to begin with, so this whole bunch of humanity crushed on a sandy area that's hotter than hell, getting hit by water that you know one out of every three people standing there pissed in. You know, if that's fun, that's fun. But anyway, we were going to continue with our 42nd Street Pete history of pornography. And I believe we ended last week, we were talking about Linda Lovelace. Now, the thing with Linda Lovelace was that the media had pumped her up to the extent that she thought she could do no wrong. And then they made a Deep Throat Part 2, which was supposed to be a comedy. And what happened was they edited all the sex out of it, if there was any sex. You know, I know there's a softcore version floating around, but you know, she just became very difficult to work with, and all of a sudden she was another out-of-work actress, and that was that, because other people were coming in. You know, Tina Russell was another one, if you remember. We were talking about her one time, that she did what she thought was going to be her big, you know, segue into the mainstream, a la Linda Lovelace, and that film was directed by a guy who primarily had done gay porn, and the whole thing flopped, and then she took a nosedive. But other people were, you know, coming in. And you know, the weird thing is, a lot of people are addicted to the camera. That's what it comes down to. Especially some, you know, certain type of woman, you know, likes to, you know, worship the camera. They can't let the camera worship her. Something to that effect. But, you know, coming back in, you know, you had you know, Marilyn Chambers was you know, the next one up and coming, and Georgina Spelvin is still, you know, was still in. They were still making films. But then you had people like Serena, you know, who actively sought out, you know, to be in these films. And, you know, she was one of these hippie-type chicks that, you know, this was, you know, the whole free love generation and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot going on there, too. And, you know, they had, you know, back in 74, Harry Reams was busted in New York on a bench warrant from Miami. Fornicating out of wedlock was the charge.
That's crazy.
And yeah, and then, you know, there was other things, you know, that came out in 74, like The Private Afternoons of Pamela Mann with Sonny Landham. Butterflies. Now, no, Butterflies wasn't the one with Lynn Lowry. It was something else. Memories with Miss Aggie, High School Fantasies, you know, a bunch of stuff. It was, you know, a lot of sets were being busted back then, too. Like, there was a film called Macumba, not Macumba Love, we talked about it last week. It was busted on charges like unlawful oral sex, being in a house of ill repute, lewd conduct, you know, all kinds of weird shit. You know, just, you know, fascinating little history of, you know, just how things came about, you know, and the performers.
I find it interesting. You were talking about in the early days, people kind of wanted to be in A-list movies and they wanted to work the way up. And it just kind of happened that they would end up working in this industry, where now we're seeing at this time in the 70s, people are actually pursuing this industry.
Yeah, like I said, you know, it was free love, and it was different things. And, you know, everybody had that, you know, I guess, you know, in the back of everybody's mind, everybody wants to segue into bigger and better things. But the whole thing is, you know, the whole porn thing still is a kiss of death, you know.
I mean, look at Jenna Jameson. She's trying to get it, you know, to other stuff. She did Zombie Strippers, which was pretty cool. You know, and then, you know, Ginger Lynn did, you know, a few things. You know, Marilyn transcended it for a while.
That's because she could act.
Yeah, you know, you it's, know, same with Ginger. She could act. Same with Vanessa. You know, with Vanessa, it's more real. Yeah.
Ginger could kind of act. It just depended on what she was in.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie she did, that Buried Alive movie? That was pretty cool.
No, that one I didn't see.
Robert Vaughn? That was cool. I was like, I think it's coming out now on that MGM DVD R stuff.
Oh, that download shit?
I think it's something you
buy. Burn, the burns, they burn.
Yeah, the burns, yeah. But it's a cool movie.
Yeah, you know, like we march on. Like Mitchell Brothers did a big budget thing called Sodom and Gomorrah, which flopped actually because it was too, you know, whatever. And then Gerald Damiano got into some heavy S&M with the story of Joanna, and I think Jamie Gillis was, you know, one of those guys who just came in and made a career specialty of playing like they claim sadistic characters. A lot of people said he was like that in real life, which we both know, you know, from our experience, was bullshit. So there was a lot of crazy stuff going on back then. And, you know, like I said, people kept, you know, coming in and out and in and out. What the hell was this? You know, the opening of Misty Beethoven, was a Ridley Metzger thing, if I remember right. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Then, geez. One of Renee Bond's last films, because don't forget she was pretty active, you know, up in the early 70s. As she got into the late 70s, you know, Renee Bond was with John Holmes, and I think that last film was Cream Rinse. And then, remember Andrea True? That name, remember a thing? That disco hit More and More and More?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I remember the song.
She was a porn star.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She started doing the band after that. So, you know, that was another thing, too, with Constant Money and opening of Misty Beethoven, because this girl was really a beautiful woman. People, like, really took notice when she got into it. And, you know, a lot of people came in. Then they started running into problems with the censors, like in 76. Alec Dorenzi's Femmes Decide was heavily cut before its release, because they were really afraid that you know, something would come down because of the implied violence. And then, you know, like I say, you know, you go a lot of newer films dealt with themes like rape, humiliation, sexual obsession, Cry for Cindy. You know, that was one. A lot of gritty stuff. And you know, the funny part was, this is the shit that, you know, got that whole Women Against Pornography thing going.
Well, where, they made the roughies look, you know, tame, the old roughies.
Yeah. But, you know, another thing, too, is another film, Midnight Desires, was Vanessa Del Rio's first full-length film role. She did, you know, the only film loops in magazines and stuff.
Right.
I think she also said she had been in a feature before she did loops, but you got to pick up her book. Her book's really good.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that industry. I do know that during the 70s, there was a, like you were talking about the S&M, there was a time there where, like, they were kind of starting to try to mix some horror elements in there. Because I've picked up a set of DVDs I thought, you know, was basically just horror movies, and there was some hardcore stuff going on in there, and I kind of freaked out. I was like, well, hold on here. But they were like, they had a lot of stuff to do with, like, the Satanic Mass and Black Magic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a bunch of stuff. Vanessa was in one called The Haunted Pussy. She gets splooged on by a ghost.
That is funny.
Yeah, there was a bunch of that stuff. You know, there was some Bigfoot porn.
Angel Above, that? Devil Below had the whole possession thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were doing all kinds of crazy shit like that. Yeah, but see, that was the whole thing. A lot of guys. Okay, here's another one. Remember Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they cut all the X-rated stuff out of it. You know, it was shown on mainstream theaters.
That's where I saw it. Yeah, it was at the drive-in. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking, though, that they might have put it back in.
Well, I know it played here with a John Waters flick, and it was like, early in his career. It might have been polyester or something, but it played here with one of his flicks, and it was X-rated at the time. It said on the marquee, it had an X, but it was the adult version of Alice in Wonderland, but it didn't have any hardcore stuff.
Yeah. Another star that came into prominence, too, was Annette Haven, and she was another one that was really beautiful. Crazy stuff.
Well, nowadays, but, isn't it true that most of the stuff's just shot with a camcorder and terrible
quality? Yeah, so it's basically loops.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Back then, they were trying to make an actual film. I mean, they had cinematography, they had lighting, they had people trying to have at least somewhat of a script. I mean, never really, a couple of them had detailed scripts, but a lot of them, I guess, didn't. I mean, you would be the pro on that, but just from what I've read, that they at least tried to make actual cinema at the time.
Yeah, well, some of the stuff, when you got your 16mm storefront things, it was a bare bones thing, I'm sure. There was a lot of improvisation there. And, I'm sure some other people would just, reciting lines verbatim, but that was before Deep Throat. Then after Deep Throat, they started paying more attention to, like, I guess, actual lines and stuff. Some of it still sounded fucking stupid anyway. Like, all right, here, remember Gail Palmer?
No.
Okay, she was in a Hunter S. Thompson book. He had a problem with her, or something happened between him and her. But anyway, she was 20 years old, and she directed this thing called Hot Summer in the City, and she was a former Michigan college student. She was running an X-rated theater on the side. And she was the one who produced the Candy series with Carol Connors. The one who was actually, Carol Connors was the original choice for Deep Throat till Linda got there.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then, going down the road, Marilyn Chambers actually released the country's record album that, she could sing, too. That's probably worth a lot of money, that album.
I was going to say, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. So.
I remember crossing over.
That's going to be part two for this week, because we got to stretch this out a little bit. Plus, there's so much to talk about with this stuff, There is no, as far as, you want to read a book, because I can only spit out what I read, what I remember. And, again, I think it's a Legs McNeil book. The Other Hollywood, the oral history of, the adult film industry. And that has, quotes from just about everybody. It's basically a book strung together with a series of interviews and stuff. It's really pretty good. You'll pick up some stuff, you wouldn't pick up any other ways. But, it brings back a lot of memories for me, because I knew a lot of these characters out of New York and stuff back in the day. Like, you remember, you're not at the point. It was an outfit called TGA Video. That was Teddy Gadsworth Associates Video.
Okay.
He was one of Norman's buddies down. I think he was a retired mob guy or something. He was down in Florida. His big thing was he was getting porn into Puerto Rico and the Caribbean places.
Wow.
Poor third world countries that, were willing to pay top dollar for porn. Fuck bringing food in or something you can really use. Yeah, bring in porn VHS tapes. Wow, whoopee. What the fuck?
Well, I can understand how there's a market for that stuff in the day, too, because it was one of those things where it was a different kind of, unlike now. It's still going on. It's just hidden. It's like I said, this stuff's awful. But back then, there was an art to it. People were trying to kind of, make something of it. And then the ones that weren't artistic, the ones that were just down and dirty, those were still available. But the thing was, the world itself was different then. We had Plato's Retreat. You had, Studio 54 out there. People were just like, man, it was a different world. And it was kind of creepy when you look back on it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it was. And that was the whole back alley ambiance to the whole thing, where people go, well, how come you don't like it now? I go, because it isn't new. I mean, back then, growing up, it was like the whole forbidden thing. Nudist camp magazines were like, the holy grail for us when we were kids, So, then you graduated from here. But I was like I said, I was selling that shit when I was like 18 years old. I was getting it off other hustlers. And that's how we got our sex education and shit. But, I go back with that so far. But, the whole thing was, as it progressed, first it was the loops. And then when you went to these, adults-only theaters, it was all soft. It was Russ's stuff. It was, the Finley stuff, the Amara Brothers stuff. It was all soft. And, remember the Olga series and all that other stuff.
Oh, so yeah,
then you started getting these little snippets. And, the whole thing with Deep Throat kicked it wide open. But prior to that, you know, there was like fucking reel after reel. You're going up like Deep Throat was 72. You know, they were shooting this shit every fucking week. There was a huge demand for it on the East Coast and the West Coast. So they were shooting like, you know, these, you know, one day wonders, they call them.
Well, we used to have theaters like that here too. As a matter of fact, there's still a couple of them standing until not too long ago. We had a couple of, like, that's all they would show, and they were always advertised in the paper back then. I mean, you would be able to open the paper and see what was playing, and they would have the ads for the horror movies, and they would all, everything looked different. They would have the ads inside Misty Beethoven, stuff like that, behind the green door. The ads were right there in the paper because they weren't explicit ads. I mean, I'm sure there were explicit versions, but not in the paper. You know, just show a chick's face or a door with Marilyn Chambers over it, you know.
But you could get away with that stuff back then. You know, Screw had some, you know, even in Screw, you know, they're like cool little ads. They never, you know, they just, you know, said this and that. And the other thing, there was never any, you know, like chick with her pussy hanging out or something. I got a lot of one sheets because I just started, you know, appreciating some of this artwork because, you know, everything's just stamped out and that. There was a lot of artwork involved in some of this shit. So I just, you know, picked up a lot of them. So
that's awesome. Your house is going to be a museum.
Yeah, your house is a museum when people come. Yeah, it's just a shame. You really, how do you display all this shit? You know, you can't. So
it's awesome, man.
If they pick certain shit, I got to hang on the wall. You know.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's it for this week.
You know, you thought you had someone coming on.
Yeah, I know. I had that too, but you know what the fuck. But I apologize if I seem boring, but you know, my shout out to all my friends out there, especially a certain party in California. So. Until next week, and we'll probably have a farewell to fucking New Jersey show. Stay sick. See you then. Bye.
Milligan, John Carpenter, George A. Romero. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the ghastly ones, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS, and all those hot, horny mistresses guaranteed to dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday night. The